It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Listen, you guys. Talk about, what do you think the real, is it just people in general are just rotten now, or is it that the government has gone the way of the socialist, where by loosening up the restraints, right, by defunding the police, by no cash bail, stuff like that. Do you think it's they're thinking it's going to be rough in the beginning and then good will just work its way out? Or do you think in a way they're like, anarchy in the streets mean that they can do what they want to do behind the scenes? Do you think it's one of those? Is it nefarious? Is it, because I try to look at this rationally. Like, why would you not want to have more of a police force when you know? Because here's the deal. If you're working, you know the real deal. You know, it's not the bullshit narratives on the radio. You knew the real deal. You know what the police men and women are dealing with every night. You know that what people are capable of doing, the people they supposedly love. But yet they'll sit up there on these podiums and talk about how the police need to go. And I just think, is it just they're just – what is it about them that they're good with knowing that those statements are going to cause people to suffer? And usually people that look like us.
Man, I think, John, I think it's people, bro. Like, everybody knows right from wrong. Like most of the time when these things happen, like, the person isn't innocent. You know what I'm saying? The person is up to no good. You know what I mean? And then they get caught and they try to, you know what I'm saying, be on some BS. Like, on the video, like, as soon as they grab the guy, they just grabbed him. The first thing he said was, "I can't breathe." Like, bro, that's not going to work. Like, come on, bro. Like, you really think, like, these guys are doing their job. You're up to no good. You lied and said you didn't have a gun. And then you tried to, like, resist. Like, if you're not up to no good, you know what I'm saying? Or if you have it legally, just say, yes, I have one. I have a permit, whatever, whatever. But you were up to no good. You know what I'm saying? So things escalated because of your decision. The cops are going to do their job, you know? Like, I don't understand it. It's ridiculous.
Know, what's crazy is, like, Jeezy, you'll say it, I'll say it. We're black men, and, you know, of course, whenever we say the real.
Yep, we're sellouts.
We're sellouts. Because I think now, if Trevor says it or Aaron says it, they've now made it to where they're oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the lawlessness that they want. I just don't understand what the end game is. Because they're going to come for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to come for you. After a while, if you allow the worst in people to germinate and grow, and you have lawlessness on the street, and women aren't safe on the street, children aren't safe on the street, any man working a 9-to-5, I mean, hell, they just tried to carjack. You just got shot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, all that happens. Eventually, there's going to be nothing for the criminals where they're at now. They'll be coming to those gated communities. And I just, what do you think they're going to do when it shows up at their doorstep? You know what the first thing they're going to do is they're going to yell, "Where are the police?"
Yep, exactly.
And that's what always happens. Like, the
bingo.
You know, and is Trevor, like, as a white man, do you feel even comfortable in this conversation?
I don't. I part of me doesn't, because I don't see a lot of what you guys have to deal with. I don't know, honestly, what it's like to walk in your guys' shoes. And I feel uncomfortable making comments about it because it comes from a place of no information or experience. So I feel like what a lot of people should do is shut the fuck up and listen and learn, because that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm trying to see the world from your guys' view.
But it's the same view. The difference is that I'm just not afraid to say another black man is a criminal.
Yeah, me neither.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't worry about a white guy coming to rob me. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's – and there's white criminals. And in white neighborhoods, there's – poor is poor and bad is bad. It's not a black thing. Black people don't have the market cornered on being evil and bad. I mean, there's – the difference is, though, when you focus, when you can call out your own, you can call out anybody. And people will listen to you. Be like, listen, I don't care what city you live in. There's going to be a bad element. And it's usually lower socioeconomical era. People who don't – the road to success is tough, and there's penitentiary chances for success. And people see that, and they get caught up in because our media makes it sound cool. Like you see kids growing up, their heroes are all – you got to either play in the NBA, the NFL, or you got to be a rapper, a singer. But here's the thing. Those four things are like hitting the lottery.
Yep.
It's not attainable. They're not realistic goals. If for myself, for all of us, we always talked about having that extra thing, you know, because chasing the dream, you still need to have boots on the ground. But when the role models are a Scarface, when the role models are always the bad guy, and you never hear Sprite doing a commercial on scientists or educators. You're not. Or doing a video where you see a guy, you know, a plumber saving the day or electrician or,
the science guy isn't coming out with a Sprite.
Yeah, exactly. Because, and it's unreal. Oh, I'm going to play in the NBA. Like, you're not. You know? And it's... Most people won't even get – you could be really great and never even get a look. You know what I'm saying? It's just unrealistic – we live in like a – it's like we live in a fantasy world, and they try to put it out there. And when you got to really just say human beings are rotten, and it doesn't matter what candy color coating is on their skin, bad is bad. And when it is bad, you should be able to call them out.
The thing is, like, where I live at, like, people are always screaming, we got to stick together, we got to stick together. But where I live at, the people that I have to be worried about and concerned about look like me.
Yeah.
But then you want to scream, let's stick together. Another thing that people don't factor in, as much stuff that we hear about, like, the crime in the city or whatever that's going on, the cops are doing everything they can to clean it up. There's a lot of stuff that we don't hear about because the cops are out there 24 hours a day. Cleaning the shit, making sure that these things aren't happening. You know what I mean? It's like people always want to complain. But when you need the help and they're not there, then what?
Then you're really complaining. I'm telling you right now, when especially you've seen with like they call them the squad, but these, defund the police, progressive Democrats that want social workers to replace police officers. That's going to go really well, because then you're gonna need someone to rescue the social workers. Instead of saying, you back the police when you have a bad cop, you prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. And when you have a bad doctor, you don't let him practice medicine. When you have a bad teacher, you don't let him teach your kids. I mean, there are unfortunately bad people doing bad things, and then there's the other side of it, is where things are we're not experiencing what they're going through, so we don't know what a typical police officer's day is like, and so it gets fantasized, or it gets it's not as tough as my day because I'm an influencer and I spent all day and I had no lighting for my selfie shoot. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being real. They want to equate their life, like my Facebook pictures of breakfast are way more important than making sure that there is security guards in front of our high schools. It's just
compared to a guy who has to put on a bulletproof vest to go to work. Just to go to work, he's got to wear a firearm to protect not only himself but the people he's around. Like that.
Yeah, and those cops got to get home to their families too.
Right.
And it's fashionable to say, "Fuck the police." It's fashionable to get into it. Now when they get pulled over, what are you stopping me for? Now you see guys pull up with cameras and just harass cops.
Yep.
I'm filming you. I can film here.
When I was in when I was in New York for Gutville, that happened. I told you. I saw it.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. Like I actually whispered to the officer as I'm about ready to cross the street, right? And this is like right on Times Square. And this dude just cussing a police officer out. He was a male police officer. He had a female partner. And like, I mean, just getting on him for no reason. And I just whispered, I go, can I hit him? You know, he said, no, you'll go to jail. Just, it is what it is. And, you know, I ended up de-escalating the situation, but it was disgusting. Like that lack of respect. And I think to your original question, Tyrus, you know, people with nefarious reasons for doing what they do can be the only logical explanation because, you know, there's chaos and there's order. And we have been leaning more towards the side of chaos in recent years, right? I think none of us are going to argue that. But systemic indoctrination of ignorance, I call it.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. That's a good call.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, you know what? I am good for a zinger every now and then.
Because you know what it is? And I think when we look at what it is to like, you just want, we all just want to succeed the best we can, given with what we got. I think that's across the board. You know, not all of us want to have every dime in the world. We just want to have enough to live our lives and be able to, like, take your family to a restaurant without having to worry about you got to fight somebody to keep your car, you know, and or the fact that you order a piece of meat and somebody in the other room is like, I smell steak and I'm triggered. You know what? Put a helmet on. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we get to that point? It's like, it's not at your table. Like, tough it up. Like, I feel like it's not even about being, like, tough, like you're mentally enduring something. You're just having to be around people who don't want to do the same thing you do. Why is that so difficult? Like, people are so focused on other people's shit. Like, focus on yourself. Each one of us has so much work to do. Just to be a decent person every day, you know, and to sit around and always pointing fingers at people. And I just was like, what do you got going on that you got so much arrogance that you got all the answers?
We've entertained people's feelings.
Yeah.
Too much.
Like, yeah. Feelings.
There used to be a right and wrong back in the, I can't believe we're even saying this, but there was just a right and a wrong the way you lived your life. If you were mean to somebody, you were an asshole. If you stole something, you were a thief. Now people feel like they're entitled to do this stuff, and they use their personal they use their personal bullshit to give themselves excuses on why they.
Well, they're all
like
special
jerks.
Now. We're all special.
We're self-imposed identity.
We're all reality TV shows.
It's the reason of the
our Facebooks,
trophy.
Our Facebook pages.
That's where it started.
Are legendary. My story is so unique.
I have 120 followers.
I don't even have one anymore, but my fake ones are doing well. So
that's when you know you're over.
Yeah.
When your fake
so my fake
are over.
I've been getting a lot of messages about. George Tyrus Murdoch, who is looking for love in all the wrong places, apparently.
Don Williams.
And he's asking for help to start his own network and but his video on his phone's broken, you know. So what are you gonna do? But I'll be like
on his razor phone.
Fans will be like, oh, man, I just talked to you. Is this you? I'm like, you know it's not me. Like, no one randomly calls you. If I'm on TV every night then chances are the checks are clearing. So there's no reason for me to ever message anyone for money. None. I have, you know, and I don't, I'm having a hard time feeling bad for the people who message me and are getting duped, sending like, you know, because this George Tyrus Murdoch guy is a creep. And asking for pictures and things like that, why would you give them? Like, don't, like, we fall for so much. Like, what makes us so dumb? You know what I'm saying? Like,
common sense.
Like,
nail, head, hammer, bam.
Like, what? You, like, Tyrus is asking me for money to help him get away from his evil wife. Listen, it's going to take more than money to get away from her. Okay? I got to die and come back, reincarnated. And she'd still be waiting. But it just cracks me up that they're like, and it's always like, they need to save the celebrity. And I don't really consider myself a celebrity. Y'all know me. I don't carry myself that way. Except when like guys like Freeman come around and I'm like, yo, I'm a celebrity. Leave me. I don't talk to people, but other than that, but I don't carry myself that way. And it just, it blows my mind that, again, is it arrogance on the victim's part? I mean, I know everyone's a victim now, but I refuse. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like you got a we've all been there. You got a girl, the picture's a 10. She's got 3 followers. And she likes more butt pics than anybody else does. It's not a girl, fellas. It's not.
Right.
It's not a lady. You know, so. But yet they fall for it. Oh, her camera phone's not working. Oh, she needs $1,500 to get to. Like, at some point when catfishing was really big and it was on TV, like, every week, I always thought the same thing. Like, you got to be kidding me. You thought that this person, this 10, was all about you and had, like, 0 followers. But you were you're shocked that they're not this, when they find out they're not who they say they are. Like, how do you get – is it just an – just we just want to believe – is it – have we all become narcissists to where we just think we're just so damn special that a model on a Wednesday afternoon will be like, hi. Well, she's a model, bro. Well, like, yeah.
It's either that. I mean, it's either that, what you said, or, and now follow me on this. What screwed up one of our biggest sources of pleasure as teenagers, which I'm, of course, talking about prank calling people.
Right.
Right.
So caller ID.
When caller ID came about and cell phones, that went away. Catfishing is kind of like the new form of prank calling people. It's just done in a much more mean-spirited way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's literally like the evolution of the prank call or the, you know, whatever is that, right? It's that stolen identity, right? And you can be catfished in a number of different ways, but, you know, the game's the same.
A part of me, dude, also thinks it's the fantasy world, man. Like, we've all made the comments about how keyboard warriors will sit at home and they will book our matches and then they will complain that they don't go the way they want to. I think a lot of people are so wrapped up into that internet world and into that internet fantasy and the facade that they've put on that they just don't, they can't see it.
And they don't have mirrors in their house.
Right. Well, they bullshit themselves and everybody else on who they are as a character on social media and what their lives are on social media.
Yeah, their avatar is who they think they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And they just don't see the real facts in front of them and the red flags in front of them.
No. Like, you're...
Yeah. I don't know. Just my opinion.
No, and that's a great point. It's like... We used to get realities, you know, you used to get checked. You used to have friends to be like, yo, bruh, get your ass in the gym. You're getting fat, dog. You know, now it's like, oh, well, he's, you know, special. He's a unicorn spirit. So they're supposed to be bigger bone. You know, like I'm.
Put down the motherfucking Cheetos.
Yeah, for real. Like we used to be able to talk that way to each other. Now it's, you know, hey Trev, like, hey bro, maybe lay off the three beers, maybe just go with two. You shamed me? Like, I, you know, and we
used
to be
real friends.
Yeah, it's your friends who tell it to you straight. Like, you know, she's not into you, bro. She's not a real person. You're dating a bot.
I'll be honest with you, fellas.
Are you just jealous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like when the guys go on TV and the girl is like a 10 and homie's not. And he just can't believe. But here's the thing. The person who's actually pretending to be the 10 is more their speed. Like, they both dress the same. They both wear sweats that don't quite fit over their backside. They both work from home, which means they're unemployed influencers. And they have more in common with the person that's pretending to be something that they're not. But they're just like, nope, not having it. Not even a little bit. Like, I'm a 4, but I only date 10 women. And men used to be able to get away with that because they had money. So that's what the fellas are missing here. You can't, masculinity. Yeah, you know, you had to pay for everything. But then, you know, then I also think, honestly, man, I think porn has just blown the minds of young men. They are just completely unrealistic in everything they expect out of, like, new relationships because they are watching free porn all the time. Yeah. And their idea of what a date with a woman is really like is that's not what it is. It's not what it is, fellas.
As an adult, it's great. As an adult, it's great. But no, not as a child. No.
No, but to think no, but it's unrealistic in general, men to think that, like,
100%.
You know, like, it's just, it's such a, the value that's placed on the wrong stuff. Like, you'll hear, oh, you want to slide in my DMs, you got to make this much money. Like, they're all playing these unrealistic roles, and they're wasting their time.
Have you had that talk with your boy?
No. You know what? It's funny. With my kids are super innocent. And
that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, like, he's just not into.
Keep him there.
Like, he's at that stage where, like, if he says hi to a girl, it's a big deal. And if she says hi to him back and I hear it, oh, man. You know, and I'm like, what? What? And he'll be like, shut up, Dad. Shut up. She's just my friend. You know.
Well, and even my 18-year-old, Trevor Paul, like, it's women or not. He's more focused on cars and school coming up. And I'm extremely thankful for that. But I've also had the conversation on, you know, once he moves on to that next level of life, which is next year, he's going to college. Like, that's all going to change. You're going to meet a whole nother set of women, and there's going to be a whole nother set of rules for them.
Yep.
And you just got to be careful. There's some sharks out there that are just looking to latch on to somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Be a lot of temptation and peer pressure and all types of stuff.
And my boy's a good-looking kid, and he doesn't realize that. He's just a very humble young man. He's going to get out there when he gets to college. Some of them girls are going to look at him and go, that's something I want to conquer. And I've told him, man, just be picky, you know.
But guys, we're not picky because we get picked.
Yes.
Guys don't pick women. Women pick guys. And, you know, and usually the guys who pick women aren't good people. So, but usually as a dude's, like, if you look at your situations, with the exception of Aaron, because Aaron only dates Aaron.
Hey, I only date tens. What can I say?
Yeah. And, but rarely have I been like, you just went in the club and just pulled the one you want. You saw the one you want, and then you left with what you got.
Yeah, there were a lot of nights like that.
You know, like, you think you call the shots, but women really make the decision. Like you're even when, like, you're when you first start dating, like, they'll tell you when it's serious. You know, usually a speech be like, before this goes down, you know, this means you're off the market. Yes, ma'am. You know, and it just kind of goes from there. But that's
I hate those conversations.
Yeah, you've had what, three?
Yeah, but they were doozies, man. They were doozies.
I'm telling you, man, like, but Aaron, you were the happiest guy. Like, I never, ever see you stressed about anything. And you never have ever had a phone call that everyone else was like, ooh, you okay, bro? I've had a phone call where Trevor literally looked at me and was like, you want a hug? I'm like, oh, no, I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm all right. I held my own.
I remember that.
I held my own.
You need a hug, bro.
I lost, but I held my own.
I heard some shit that night. Like, God damn.
Yeah, he's like, you all right? I was like, yeah, you know, I'm good. I'm good.
You know it's bad when your brother looks at you and goes, you need some physical touch, man. Like, just a little hug. You just need a pat on the back. That was rough.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a hot minute.
When we put all this together, and I guess when you look at how much we how much is it? We're just overexposed to everything now. Is that what it is? Is there too much? There's too much. You know, everyone, I mean, literally everyone is in front of the camera. You know, they can't even put an outfit on without having to show you. And I just, I would love to have a show. What do you guys think? Where we just, and the show is only, we could probably get like 30 people on the show a week, a 30-minute show, where we just stop by and say, no. Like, no one, stop filming shit.
Just don't stop.
Focus on something else.
Yes.
You know, like,
and then,
yeah, I know.
And Jeezy could have either a hook and like could come in and like hook him out.
But, you know, getting dressed in front of the camera while you complain about people is not a skill. I refuse to acknowledge it, you know. And
but there's people that will watch that shit.
Yeah, who is watching that shit? I guess that's the real question. It's like, it's the viewers. Like, you know, they make, when you see cringe, whatever it is, or you know, because they put all that crap on the algorithms. Like, even if you don't want to see it, the social media is now flooded to where they take the craziest stuff and they try to get you, and it will ruin your whole day because you will go down a rabbit hole where you cannot come back from.
Yep.
And you guys get enough crazy, because I get crazy shit sent to me and I immediately send it to you guys. I think you guys got enough Corey Feldman concerts to last you a lifetime.
He's actually not that bad.
No, him singing Stand By Me was a little weird.
Oh, dude.
I mean, look, we can't. He's not a musician, right? But I mean, for a regular guy singing, he's okay.
What? Like, come on, man. Let's be realistic. You know, good for him for trying, but that's bad.
He was not. He was not party all the time with Eddie Murphy. You're right.
Yeah.
Hey, that actually wasn't a bad song.
He's trying.
No, it wasn't, man. I'm coming real, partner. And which, by the way, Tyrus.
Did you just call me partner?
He did. Thank you. Did.
Right. We were talking about this earlier. No, we were talking about this earlier. We were having a conversation, and I was like, oh, yeah, Jeezy, we were talking about the weather, right? And I was like, oh, dude, that's pretty dope, man. And Trevor called me out for saying the word dope, which means good.
It's not – no. There's nothing, quote-unquote, wrong with the word. It's how he said it. You know what I'm
just
saying?
Just like I said, like, it.
No, you did not. No, that was dope. I was like, Aaron, you don't talk like that. Come on now. Like, and then he's like, well, let's leave it up to Tyrus. And I said, I already know what Tyrus's answer is, but I would love for him to hear it.
Potnut came in, like, yeah, like that was the word that was brought
up. Yeah, that's his way. That was always his way of trying to get me to react. He'll just be sitting there talking as what is considered the white lingo. Good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing? And then I'll walk in and be like, what it is? And I'll be like, what's up, Aaron? He's like, he was letting the white guys know he could communicate. He was on that level. You know, I've been given a higher clearance pass. You know, like I'm in good with the brothers. Is what his message was, and he liked it. And it was also funny because I would always react to it.
You sound just like Joe Biden when he talks like that shit.
But I think that's Aaron by design. The more ridiculous and outrageous he says it, the more of a reaction he gets from everybody. You know, because I look at him like I'm going to punch him in the face, and then they're looking like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Oh my God, I can't believe you said that. So...
I think he's intentionally trying to poke at the
bear. Oh, he's a shit disturber.
The last
he's always stirring the like Aaron Mark cannot or, Aaron cannot go through his day without stirring somebody's pot. Like he just has to do it.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, okay.
I'm off the pot.
You're off the pot. Well, that's great.
I am. They're completely straight laced. It's interesting though. I will say, right? Like it's it's been over a month, right, that I'm completely sober. With I don't do alcohol, nothing. And I don't know. I just think people should do this more often if they don't. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proponent of it because now it's just like I'm going to, and again, there's nothing wrong with having a drink, right? There's nothing wrong with, if it's legal in your state, hitting a little THC, right? Whatever.
Twisted one up.
Yeah, but it's just like something to be said for, like, I want to say an increase in willpower. And I'm actually being serious about this for now. Like, it's interesting, right? When you can like say, okay, I'm not doing this for this long just to see if I can, right? And then you hit that goal and you're like, no, I'm just going to keep going because I should be like this, right? Like there's something as a man that it does to you. And it's actually done wonders for me. So I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, that's just weird.
What? Me being completely?
I guarantee you, at the next show, I will break whatever streak you've got going on with you because you will be at my hotel, hanging out with me, turning around upside down.
I mean, okay, you know what? I thought you guys would be proud of me.
No, you've completely ruined the podcast. I don't even want to talk anymore. I'm just so depressed right now. Just Aaron's got it all together, everybody. Great.
No, I don't have it all together. I'm just saying, like, it's nice to, like, okay, one of the things I have lacked in life is discipline. Right?
Right.
You guys have all seen this.
Hey, bro, I missed your call. Sorry.
That's all right, Jeezy.
Huh?
Oh shit! He's
he's still on the roof.
Oh, I think Jesus forgot to hit the mute button.
Yeah, forgot to. Well, at least it's not a Zoom, right?
Right.
You're right. But he said there was someone on the roof.
Yeah. This is awesome.
We are professionals, America. We promise.
So the only thing next is his mom's going to come back and ask him what he wants for dinner.
That's what we need.
Can we get stovetop tonight, Ma? And then, like, he'll start talking shit about us. Like, oh, they can't hear me right now. Those guys are idiots. They can't hear me right now. Can't stand these guys. I'm not doing this show ever again. And then she'll hit him with some personal stuff right like, you think tonight's tonight, babe? You think we might work tonight?
My blue chew's gonna kick in, babe. Yeah. My blue chew's gonna.
And then
kick
he's gonna
in.
Then he's gonna get on like, hey, what's up, guys? What's going on? And we're gonna be like, podcast is over, Briz. You've ruined it.
He did hit the mute button. No, we got him on that.
Technically, I ruined it first. Right. I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's on the mute button, right? Or the situation has been resolved.
Yeah, we resolved the situation. He was.
So I have a question. We're talking about wrestling. Let's go squirrel a little bit.
Yeah, let's take it home. Let's take it home with some wrestling today.
Has anybody seen the news? Obviously, with Scott D'Amore and TNA.
Okay, so explain that to me. What the hell happened?
From what I have read, is Anthem decided that they wanted to go into a different direction and wanted to encapsulate TNA more into Anthem and their entertainment organization. And with that being said, they decided to let go of Scott D'Amore and employ one of their top guys from Anthem as the head of TNA and creative and all of that.
And who's the new replacement?
His name is Anthony. I can't now. I don't want to disrespect the guy, but I can't pronounce his name. Cesario.
Aaron doesn't know. Aaron knows every name in wrestling.
Hey, sorry, fellas.
No, I don't. What's that, Cheesy?
I said, sorry, my lack of professionalism, man.
Oh, it's all good. It's just, Aaron was upset because you kind of stole his deal. That's kind of Aaron's thunder. You stole, you know.
I think Trevor got to give me another DDT.
Yeah. No, I was happy because apparently I tanked the podcast, but you actually saved me, GZ, anyway. So thank you.
So I'm just curious. So listen, I'm not going to, I was never a big fan of DeMora. That's why I didn't like TNA. I
never knew him.
I didn't get it. And I'll just leave it at that. Nothing against him personally. I just didn't like working with him. And so
the only thing that intrigued me was the verbiage that they used with it.
Okay. So
usually when someone leaves, they do the whole, he has resigned.
Right.
Or that we have parted ways, but they use the exact, he was fired, which in our world in professional wrestling, we look through between the lines.
Right.
And when they're saying that kind of verbiage, you expect something.
Let's be honest. It's been a black eye this month to be a wrestler, you know, with,
mm-hmm.
yes.
you know, yeah. and it's like, you just feel bad for, the wrestling community as a whole when stuff like this happens, because it's not just based on the individual. The entire group gets judged from it. And then all these, you know, stories start coming forward and
he seems to have the support of the locker room. A lot of the boys are upset with this.
I guess it was very emotional.
And like I said, because it didn't jive with me, that doesn't matter. You know, he was obviously doing something right. I just, you know, at the time, I didn't really impact wasn't. It was a lot of us were just kind of over it. Needed a break, to be honest with you. It was a lot of change. You know, we went from Dixie to the Twins, and then it was the Big John, and then it was Jarrett for like an afternoon, and then it was DeMarco, and I was just like, I'm cool and all this, because every time a new guy comes in, then the entire structure changes. You're a top guy under one thing, getting ready to win a title, then another guy comes in, all of a sudden you're back to the bottom, and I'm just like, you know what, I'm gonna take my ball and go home for a little while and figure this shit out. So you know, but when you have the locker room and they support him, but change is tough, man. I think we're gonna see a lot more firings in wrestling and office positions across the board, and maybe rightfully so. You know, just There's only so much you can excuse, and when you see that stuff, when you see the accusations that's out there, and it's damaging, and it's like it just makes you, it hurts you, because you think about the guys and all of us are busting our ass. I'm retired now, but guys are busting their ass 300 days a year. You know, they're home to pay bills, kiss their kids on the head and get back on the road, or in Aaron's case, water his plants. And
I don't have any plants.
And then you got to deal with that, you know, on top of it. And it's just all the work that Vince McMahon did. He made us all believers and chased the dream. And everyone wanted to be in the WWE. Everybody wanted to be interviewed by Vince McMahon. You know, you wanted that. He was like, he was like Jim Henson of wrestling, you know, like you think of all of your favorite superstars, with very few exceptions. Their biggest spotlight was the WWF, you know, WWE. I mean, and so when you see that stuff, it's one of those things where like, it's one of those stains that's never going to come off. And I hate saying it that way, but it's just not going to come off. And this will be, if everything is true, everyone should be heard. But if it's, you know, if this finds out through a civil suit or whatever, that this stuff was there and it was, you know, other people were involved and all that stuff, it's just, that's going to be his legacy. And I think, and rightfully so, if that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it defeats and destroys everything, because wrestling was about family. Like, you brought your family to a wrestling match. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't about all this other stuff. And you just taking away from it, you know, especially anybody who spent any time
Well, Linda McMahon feels terrible. Steph, and I guess just, you know, one thing for sure, he was not a good husband. But those are, you know, that's between them. But it's just the black eye that it puts on the entire sport that we love. It sucks. It really sucks. And again, no one should have to go through that. No job is worth that. I'm sorry. There is no job worth that. And anybody who's ever had anybody come at you that way, if it's, like I said, again, I don't like to, I let the courts talk. I wait for the decision to come out, whatever, so be it. But, you know, he stepped down, which is not a good sign. So, but I just, there should be, there is no, my message to any fellas, young ladies, if you're trying to break into wrestling or acting or anything like that, and somebody comes at you like that, trust me, there's other doors. This is not the door for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
This, if this is where it ends, this is where it's supposed to end. Because going to, if some, and here's the thing, it's about power. When you have power, when people have power, and again, I'm not talking about the Vince situation at all. I'm talking about just my life, and you guys have felt this. I've been a guy who's not had power ever in the workplace. You know what I'm saying? I might have been popular, but like I couldn't decide who worked and who didn't work. I couldn't say, hey, put such and such on TV. I didn't have it like that. I don't think any of us had it like that.
Nope.
To have that kind of power and control. So I know that's a big factor is when these things, situations happen. The other side of it is that, though, you have to – you got to – there is no job worth that unless that's – you know, that, and that's the thing is, like, you don't want to say it because people always want to look in for the gotcha moment or the disrespectful thing, but you don't go to interviews at 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't – put yourself in those situations. And if that's the only way you can get the job, say no. But the problem is like people just – you got to say no, because if everybody says no, these people can't do this shit.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Because – and it's always buyer's remorse. You know, there's no job worth it. I'm telling you, I've had them all. And if anything like that was asked for me – and again, I guess it's easy for me to say, I'm a 6'8". Large black man, I don't have to take a lot of physical shit from anyone, but if that, but you know, we heard the stories of Terry Crew, what he went through, and he's a big guy, he's a big Jack brother, and he had people walking up to him, being inappropriate to him. So it's, but there has to be a point where you're just like, nope, not doing it. And people need to know you can tell now. There's so many people, even if, and that's the cold part, is if, even if you're lying. And if you make a false accusation, which is just a bigger problem, you're still going to get the result. You're going to get the credit. You're going to get the – they're going to believe you first. And then the person's being accused, it's no longer innocent until proven guilty. It's, oh, we know you did it. Prove you didn't. And even – and then when you do, that still might not be good enough, you know? So there's – the world has changed in terms of if you speak, people will listen. And they will come in droves. So that's the good news, is just people have to know that sometimes you just don't need the job that bad. I guess that's mm-hmm. my advice to anybody young in the business. If you're getting put in that situation, you stop it immediately and be like, you know what? This just ain't for me. And you might save somebody else. And or get somebody's ass fired and get them out of there. So they can't do those things to people. So you got to speak up 1,000% for that. And hopefully the truth comes out. But no matter what, you kind of need a shower, you know? You're just like, man.
Well, you don't want, like, especially a guy like Vince. We all grew up wrestling fans, and you know the old motto, don't ever meet your hero. Mm-hmm. We all got to meet him.
Meet him.
And
yep.
Hang out with him, shake his hand, be impressed by his presence. And then to hear that stuff, it just,
it's like, man.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why? Like, come on, man. I, give me a Mr. Rogers once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or just
somebody pure, 100% just good.
I mean, everybody has flaws. Like, everyone has the weird things, but keep it away from work, yo. You know, like just
yeah. You know what, though? Let's talk about, you know, and when T you said anyone interested in getting involved in wrestling or whatever, and, you know, who knows who's listening to our podcast. Knowing how the WWE as a mechanism works, I think we can all be in agreement that, like, now the steps that are being taken to prevent anything like this from happening again on any level, I would bet they have already been implemented.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah, like, totally different place.
WWE doesn't get enough credit for what they did with drug testing, you know, and what they've done with rehab. Like, they don't get enough credit for those things. They really don't.
Concussion protocols, guys getting hurt. You know what I mean? You guys know when we were there.
It was a little different.
Like, if we got hurt, there was somebody waiting to take our spot.
Yep.
And they let you know about it. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
No, it's not. It's better. And hopefully this will make things better for everyone who's still there busting their ass to entertain, you know, people across this country, you know, and hopefully that these stories don't continue, because it's really, and Hollywood's even worse, you know, and that's pretty bad, because that this stuff is bad. I mean, and it's one of those things where you don't want to talk about it. And I always say the same, listen, I haven't been in the WWE in 9 years, I think. You know, I didn't see anything like that when I was there. And so I'm really not an expert on it. All I can say is that from what, you know, from being there, it's being an alumni, being proud of my time with the WWE, what the WWE taught me to do and allowed me to be able to expand my, go out on my own, do my own thing. I like being my own boss. Those things couldn't happen without the time in the WWE. But it's just an ugly, ugly thing. And I hope everybody's more vigilant. And if you see somebody getting f***ed with, get their back.
Yep.
You know?
Yes.
You could always get another job. Because at the end of the day, it just ain't worth it. To live with yourself, you know, to know if stuff was going on and you didn't do anything about it because your check was clearing, you got to take a hard look in the mirror. And like I said, and false accusations suck. And I can speak to it. But you just want let everyone do their thing and just keep that shit at home, you know. But again, what do we know? We're just but I, like I told Aaron, as a mid-carder, I sleep well at night. So
I think we all sleep very well at night.
Yeah, I think I said it to everybody. Yeah. Well, this was a heavy podcast today. So, you know, unfortunately, the whole Aaron debacle really killed the mood.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was rough.
I thought we could talk about ourselves here. I finally did something I'm proud of. Sorry.
Yeah, well, okay. You know, and I'm glad that the guy on the roof is down, Jeezy.
Yeah, that was a bit. Yeah,
that was
you're
great.
Right.
Yeah, you're good?
Yeah, he's probably still on the roof.
Yeah, and just let your girl know she's not getting paid for today's episode. So,
no.
Special guest. Tell her thanks for doing the show. Appreciate it.
You're not getting paid for doing the show today. You're not getting paid for doing the show today. Yeah, you. That was just, you know, cameo appearance. So, you know, pay your dues, brother.
All right, fellas, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. I'm dying over here. Enough said.
Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.